The name of the missus was Mrs. Dunn, but to the children of the family she had always been the missus, and she had been in the house, it seemed, forever. Technically, the housekeeper, in reality, she did everything. She scrubbed pots and lay fires like an under-housemaid. When it was time to make a meal, she was cook, and when it was time to serve it, she was butler. Yet by the time the twins were born, she was growing old. Her hearing was poor, her sight poorer, and although she didn't like to admit it, there was much she couldn't manage. The missus knew how children ought to be brought up. Regular meal times, regular bedtimes, regular baths. Isabel and Charlie had grown up overindulged and neglected at the same time, and it broke her heart to see how they turned out. Their neglect of the twins was her chance, she hoped, to break the pattern. She had a plan. Under their noses, in the heart of all their chaos, she meant to raise two normal, ordinary little girls. 3 square meals a day, bedtime at 6, church on Sunday. But it was harder than she thought. For a start, there was the fighting. Adeline would fly at her sister, fists and feet flailing, yanking at hair and landing blows wherever she could. She chased her sister, wielding red-hot coals in the fire tongs. The missus hardly knew what worried her more, Adeline's persistent and merciless aggression, or Emmeline's constant, ungrudging acceptance of it. For Emmeline, though she pleaded with her sister to stop tormenting her, never once retaliated. Instead, she bowed her head passively and waited for the blows that rained down on her shoulders and back to stop. The missus had never once known Emmeline to raise a hand against Adeline. Then there was the vexed issue of food. At mealtimes, more often than not, the children simply could not be found. Emmeline adored eating, her plumpness maintained by a pocket constantly full of bread and raisins, a portable feast that she would take a bite from whenever and wherever she fancied. Her sister was quite different. Adeline was made like a piece of wire, with knots for knees and elbows. No one ever saw her eat. Occasionally the missus would notice a slice of gammon missing, or a chunk torn out of a loaf of bread. She sighed. Why wouldn't her girls eat food off a plate like normal children? Perhaps she might have managed better if she'd been younger, or if the girls had been one instead of two. But the angel field blood carried a code that no amount of nursery food and strict routine could rewrite. She didn't want to see it. She tried not to see it for a long time, but in the end, she realized. The twins were odd. There were no two ways about it. They were strange all through, right into their very hearts. The way they talked, for instance. She would catch fragments of the buzz of speech, but as she approached, they fell silent. "Speak up," she was always telling them. But she was going deaf, and they were shy. Their chat was for themselves, not for others. "Don't be silly," she told Dig when he told her the girls couldn't speak properly. "There's no stopping them when they get going."